Well, first of all, can I thank the Reverend Kenny and also the session here in Dromore for the kind invitation to come and to preach to you over this harvest weekend. I do, let me say, count it truly a privilege indeed. I know most preachers say something like that, but I do count it most sincerely a privilege to be along here this weekend and to bring God's word to you. In fact, doubly delighted to be here because I'm just getting over the flu. Maybe you'll want to keep your distance from me. I rang Mr. Kenny on Monday evening, I think it was just about 6:30, and he was asking me, well, are you fine? Are you keeping good? And I said, yes, everything's fine. And I said, sometimes you do have a concern that you'll take something just as you have taken on a booking like preaching for you at the weekend. Well, by 10 o'clock on Monday night, I started to feel, general flu symptoms, a headache, aching all over, my throat was sore, and well, by Tuesday I knew what it was, so I am just recovering. But thank the Lord that I'm feeling well enough to be here, and I trust able to preach to you with the help of the Lord. As Mr. Kenny said, he did want me to just give a brief comment upon the work of God in which I labour there in Rutherford Glen in Glasgow. The work has been in existence for, well over now 20 years. The first minister of that congregation was the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, who ministered there for 10 years before moving to take up God's work in Allentown, Pennsylvania, USA. In that same year, that is 1998, I received a call from Robert Glenn to be their minister and have been there by the grace and help of God ministering to that congregation. We thank God for his help and for his blessing and undoubtedly for his presence in a very special way that I believe we have felt over those years. Now our congregation is very small, certainly very, very small by Ulster standards. Over the past 10 years, just to take that, our top figures probably have ranged somewhere between 20 and 30. We've had more, but in that range. So we don't have a big congregation, but God has been with us and God has blessed us. But I want to just let you know the kind of spiritual climate in which we are labouring for God, particularly in Glasgow. I know there are exceptions to what I'm going to say, possibly if you go to the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. Thank God that His grace and His gospel is more powerfully and clearly preached in those areas. But there is great spiritual decline in Scotland. That might surprise some of you here. Some years ago, the Church of Scotland, which is the largest Presbyterian church, by the way, isn't Episcopal, it's Presbyterian, they conducted a survey, and they concluded that they were losing 12,000 members every year over the past 10 years, which they had surveyed. What that means on the ground is that churches regularly are literally closing their doors. Generally what they do, they take four churches and they make them into two. But you know, they have been adopting that policy for many, many years, and I could take you to a church not far from where our own church is situated, and if you read the history of it, as I have done, you would find that they have amalgamated with various congregations over the years. They had an amalgamation there just a few years ago as well. But you know, the churches don't get any bigger. They just are getting smaller and smaller. The church is aging, and as people who have any interest just in church, I'm not talking even necessarily about Christ. That's a different thing. The churches are getting smaller. And there's no one coming along, there's no move of God to of any noticeable significance to build up that work. Some of you will be familiar perhaps with a sociologist by the name of Steve Bruce. He's written in Ulster, about things in Ulster. He again did an in-depth study, and he concluded, and this made the news about 2 years ago, I think it was, that within 50 years, if the decline continued as it has done, the church in Scotland, the national church, would cease to exist. That was his statistics. Now, we're swimming against the tide. That tide is even affecting evangelical churches. I'm being honest with you, I have lost count even of the number of evangelical churches, broadly evangelical, who have literally closed their doors over the past even 6 years. I'm talking about churches like Brethren Assemblies, independent Baptist churches, churches of other evangelical persuasion. Literally just shut the doors. Nobody there to go any longer, or just a couple, so the services could not continue. That's a climate in which we are laboring, but you know, God still is with us. He has blessed us. He has undertaken for us. We have known His presence in, I believe, very, very special way. Our own congregation has felt that loss over the past, within the past couple of years. There was a period of, in fact, just of 13 months when we lost five regular and faithful supporters of our church. That's a big loss to us. We have some serious sickness in our congregation that affects our little congregation. Will you pray that God will raise up men and women, that He'll call out His people? I believe God is working, but we need to see God move with power again. I want you to pray that God will move with power by His Spirit in Robert Lane and throughout Glasgow. The little verse I finish with, which often encourages me, it's spoken of how God works in salvation. It's in John chapter 3. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." You know, the wind in the natural realm, it can suddenly change direction. That's why sometimes the weather forecasters get it all wrong. The wind's blowing this way and you think, right, the rain's coming, and then suddenly it changes. Well, you know, God works like that by His Spirit. We may see the wind blowing in one direction, you know, but you know, God can cause it to turn and to move again with power and blow upon Glasgow and Scotland or Ulster. Will you pray that God again will with power move by His Spirit, revive His church, save sinners? Pray that God will draw sinners in and that God will save them, and He'll use His truth, because that's how God is ordained, to save poor and needy sinners. Do pray for Robert Lane. I'll make some other comments at the other meetings, but I trust that will suffice to encourage you to pray for that little church in King Street in Robert Lane. We'll come now to the reading of God's Word. I would like you to open your Bible with me this morning at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read from verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. We'll end our reading there at verse 15, and we know that God will bless the reading of His truth to us. Before we come to consider our text today, let's unite in prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Our gracious and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee for being found in Thy presence this day. We thank Thee for Thy Word which we have just read. We thank Thee that we have, O God, before us right now, a message from Thee. And we pray that Thou will come and give help not only to this preacher, but Lord, to this people, that together we might understand Thy Word. We do pray for spiritual enlightenment. We do pray for the Spirit of God to take His own Word and to apply it with conviction to our hearts. I pray now that Thou wilt fill me with Thy Spirit. I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, that they might be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. O God, come and make Thy will clear to us. Give us help. These things we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Among the many parables spoken by the Savior, the parable of the sower is not only the best known, but it is one of the most important. This is an emphasis, of course, which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself attached to this particular parable. After having spoken this well-known parable to us, or particularly to His disciples, who seemed to struggle with its meaning, the Lord emphasized the importance of being able to grasp and understand this parable. You see, in response to their inquiry as to what it was all about, the Lord Jesus Christ stresses the importance of getting to the meaning of this parable of the sower. He said to them in Mark 4 and 13, which is a parallel passage, "Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? If you do not understand this so plain and obvious a parable, how will you ever come to understand the more difficult and deeper teachings of the Word of God?" So the Lord is underlining for these disciples and as well for us that it's important that we get a good understanding of what this parable is about and how to understand it. I want to focus your attention this morning on but part of the parable. That is, how the Word of God is received with profit. Or how we are to receive the Word of God so as to reap from it the most spiritual profit or the greatest spiritual harvest. You see, we often look at this parable from the negative point of view. And we point out how the Word is not received by someone. But I want to focus upon how we are to receive the Word so that we might be enabled to reap a spiritual harvest from it. Yes, focus is often fixed on the negative, about those who receive the Word of God, or who do not receive God's Word as they should. We speak of the wayside hearers, who we're told in the parable, the birds of the air come and they snatch it away. Oh, the reference is to the work of Satan and how he attempts to keep the Word of God from entering into the hearts and minds of those who hear God's Word proclaimed. The devil is ever there to stop the Word of God from ever entering in to our hearts. Sometimes we use the expression in one ear and out the other. Well, you know, sometimes the devil works so swift with the Word of God, it never even gets in one ear and out the other. It never travels that far. Because sometimes I feel the Word, it just goes into our ear and enters into our ear canal and it gets to the first bend in our ear canal and it crashes. Never gets any further. The devil has snatched it away. Just almost as soon as it's spoken, he's plucked it away, and it's never got into our heart. The Lord also, of course, spoke of those who, among whom the Word of God came, and he said, well, it's like the seed falling among thorns. It grows up, but then the thorns choke the Word. It has an impact for a while, but gradually there's a change here. It's not like the other illustration of the bird snatching the seed away. It's gone in a moment. No, here you can see some of the impact of the Word of God on the lives of people who hear it, but it gradually... the thorns and the cares of this world, they choke out the Word. They strangle it a slow death. Until the Word of God then eventually as well has no impact. Or no longer has any impact upon their lives. As I've said, our attention, however, was going to be directed to what happened to the seed which fell upon the good ground. This speaks of those who receive the word with profit to their souls. They receive it in such a way that they are able to reap a spiritual harvest from it. They're able to benefit from it. They're able to profit from it tremendously. This parable is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you carefully read their accounts, it is interesting to note, and of course instructive for us as well, to note the particular words they use in describing how the word is received with profit. And it's only by comparing all three accounts that you will get to the real meaning of what it is to receive the word with spiritual profit, or to be enabled to reap a spiritual harvest from the word of God. And so our Bible study this morning will entail us turning to each of the Gospels for us to come to a place where we'll see, how can I reap a spiritual harvest? In other words, really profit from God's word. First of all, note with me that Matthew describes those who reap a spiritual harvest from the word as those who hear and understand it. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, please. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Heareth the word and understandeth it. That's what I want you to mark. This parable teaches that there are others who do not understand the word. Oh yes, they hear the word. It's not a problem of hearing. But yet, this parable tells us they do not understand the word. They do not comprehend its message. You'll find that in Matthew 13 and verse 19. The Lord says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom of God and understandeth it not. There are some who don't understand. Oh yes, they still hear, but they don't understand it. And what I am saying to you, in fact what the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying to us here, is that if we are to spiritually profit from the word of God, if we are to reap a spiritual harvest for our souls from God's truth, then it must first of all be understood by us. In our reading and in our hearing of the word, we must make an effort to understand what is being said. This is what Philip, the evangelist, as we call him in the book of Acts, was concerned to know when the Lord directed him to the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 8. Remember Philip, he saw the Ethiopian eunuch there traveling in his chariot, reading his Bible. And Philip's concern was that the eunuch understood what he was reading? That was the question, in fact, he addressed to him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Because Philip knew that it's not just enough to hear or to read, but it is vital that we understand God's truth. We must first, yes, seek by God's help to get an intellectual understanding by comparing Scripture with Scripture. God doesn't bypass the mind. We need to compare Scripture with Scripture, seek to understand what the words mean. But we need more understanding than that to really profit from God's Word. This understanding of the Scriptures, which I believe is so vital, is something that only the Lord can give us. No Bible college or seminary or scholar can impart this knowledge or this understanding. Now, I believe in Bible colleges. I believe the church has a great duty to train up men to preach the Word, who are able to preach the Word and to teach others also. But I believe this knowledge, this understanding, is something which God gives. This is, I believe, illustrated for us, or what I'm talking about, I believe, is illustrated for us in the life of the Apostle Peter. Do you recall the time when the Lord Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16 and 13? We have the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That was a crucial question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? There was, of course, a considerable difference of opinion among the people and among the scholars of that day as to who Jesus Christ was. Here were some of the men who were most learned, so-called learning. It was really human learning and wisdom that led them to say, or to rather to misinterpret, even this fundamental question as to who Jesus Christ was. The reply came to that question, who do the people think I am? And the reply is this, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets, Matthew 16:15. They were way off the mark. Their interpretation and understanding was very much askew. But when the Lord asked the disciples who they thought he was, it was Peter who was moved to make that great and that wonderful confession in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was clear in his understanding. But I want you to note what the Lord said about this knowledge that Peter had that others did not have. He replied to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, this is an understanding of the person, or this understanding of the person of Christ was not something that man had taught Peter, or some scholar had taught Peter, or some system had taught Peter. He was taught it by the Lord. It was revealed to him by God. You see, this is the understanding that we need to get when we hear the Word of God. And since there is an understanding of spiritual things which cannot be gained by our own reasoning, we need therefore constantly to pray. I, even using the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and the verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, enlighten me. Help me to understand thy word. Not just to come in church and hear it preached, but Lord, help me to understand what the message really is. What thou art saying to me. What this text means and what it means for my life. Yes, Matthew describes those who reap a spiritual harvest from the Word as those who hear and understand it. But will you now turn over with me, please, to Mark's Gospel, where we have again this same parable recorded, and to Mark chapter 4, and to the verse 20. Because I want you to note here that Mark describes those who reap a spiritual harvest from the Word of God as those who hear and receive it, or receive the Word. Mark 4, verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it." Yes, Matthew emphasized the hearing and the understanding of it. Mark here emphasizes the hearing and the receiving or the reception of it. How then, we must ask, is the word to be received by us so that we can spiritually reap a harvest from it, that we can spiritually profit from it? Well, the first thing I would say to you in answer to that is that we must, when we read and hear the word of God, we should receive it as from Him, as from God. Oh, counsel was given to Job back in Job 22 and in the verse 22, which states thus, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in thine heart." As we read God's word or have it preached faithfully to us, we must receive it as coming from God. That this is not the word just of some preacher, if he's faithfully preaching God's word, that this is not just a pronouncement or the stance of some church, or that this is just a statement of some confession, good and solid though it may be, but this is none other than the very words of God to my soul. Receiving God's word as from His very own mouth. Is that how you come to listen to God's word? What will God say to me today? What will God say to me? Each morning as you open your Bible and you page your way through it, read your way through it, what will God say to me? Because you are receiving this book, you are taking these words that I am holding in my hand as from God. We need to hear and receive God's word as, first of all, from Him, coming from God. I suggest furthermore that if we are to receive God's Word with the greatest spiritual prophet, then we must receive all of God's Word. There's a distinction in what I've said in my previous sub-point there, that we are to receive it from God. But I'm saying now and emphasizing now, we are to receive it all as from God. Every bit of it. Every part of it. From the very first line there in Genesis chapter 1 in the verse 1 right through to Revelation 22 in the verse 21. We are to receive it all as from God, as His Word. You know, that's the only way you're really going to profit, or this book is really going to profit you, and you're going to be able to reap a true spiritual harvest and find delight for your soul. When you come to this book, not only accepting it's from God, but it's all from God, every bit of it. When God spoke to Ezekiel the prophet in Ezekiel chapter 3 in the verse 10, here's what he said. Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Did you get that? Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart. Ezekiel, you are to accept and receive everything I say to you. And as a preacher, he was commanded, well, to command all that God had said to him. But the point I'm emphasizing here is the reception of all that God says. Why do I emphasize that? Because I have found that there are people, you know, and they are prepared, even to hear the Word of God. But they're not prepared to hear all that God would say. I'll accept that. I'll receive that from the preacher. If he speaks of that, I'll accept it. I'll take it on board. I'll do it. But if he talks about this, well, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to take that. No, well, I'll have to think about that. You see, God's Word isn't going to really profit your soul and really be the delight that it could be if that's your approach or your attitude to the Word of God. You know, sometimes people, I think, treat the Word of God as if it was like a box of chocolate, something that, yes, can be delighted in, but it's something that brings delight to them. And what happens is they go and they take that chocolate, I like that one, and I like that one. Someone else likes another, and they take that. But then you usually find, even perhaps in the finest box of chocolates, that there's still a few there that nobody likes and are just left, and nobody wants them. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to have that. Well, sometimes people do that, you know, with God's Word. I like that. I like it when he's on that theme. I like it when he's saying this, but I don't like that. I'm not going to receive that. That's not going to profit your soul. That's how people think, you know. I know that's how they think. Because one time in the course of a message here, but you know, there's a subject I think I'm going to preach on sometime. And I remember visiting this person, and he said, well, you know, the one time you mentioned you were going to preach on this subject, and they said, well, you know, if you're going to preach on that, this is what they said to me. They said, if you're going to preach that, will you tell me, because I'm not going to be there. I knew they disagreed with me. That's not profiting from God's Word. or taking God's word and seeking to profit from it as we should. Mark tells us we are to hear and to receive the word. But then I want you, finally this morning, to turn with me over now to Luke's Gospel. Remember, we're still at Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, that is, and to the verse 15. Remember, we're just looking at the same incident. And by careful comparison, we are discovering here how we can most profit from God's word and reap a spiritual harvest for our souls. Here in Luke 8 and verse 15, Luke describes those who reap a spiritual harvest from the word as those who hear the word and keep it. Let's read this verse together. Luke chapter 8 verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. There's the harvest. There's the spirit. There's the reaping the spiritual harvest. What does Luke emphasize? He emphasizes here, you will see clearly the need not only to hear God's word, but to keep it. In what way are we to keep the word in our heart? And you'll note that the word, of course, is in our heart here. Because he speaks of those which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. The word's in the heart. In what sense here are we to give to this expression, to hear the word and to keep it? Well, I would suggest to you one of the things that is meant by keeping the word of God in our hearts is to ponder it. To store it up, to guard it, as it were, to keep it from being lost. The sense of protecting it and treasuring it up and keeping it safe so that we can have use of it. That's how the word is used. Used in that familiar, well, quite familiar text in Luke chapter 2 and the verse 19, where it tells us, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." There she was, keeping these things in her heart. Keeping them there in store. Keeping them safe. Keeping them from being lost. She kept all what was happening concerning the Lord Jesus and what He was doing and saying. And she kept all these things and what had happened to her. With the visitation of the angel, all God's dealing with her, and she pondered all these things in her heart. She kept them there. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, it takes effort to prevent the evil one from coming and taking God's word from us. I said earlier, the devil will try every ploy he can to keep God's word out of our hearts. But the best way that we can do to keep it in our hearts is by pondering it. In other words, by thinking about it, by talking over it. I think as God's people, we don't talk enough about the word of God, what we're reading. That is a good even we practice. Just if you've got another believer, ask them, is there anything interesting in your Bible reading in recent times, or to talk over even about the sermon. Even if it is for clarification, well, what did he mean? That was a good point he made. Just the fact of doing that, you know, can cause God's word to lodge in our hearts. We need to ponder the word of God. We keep it that way. But of course, the word keep here also means to practice. to practice it. We keep God's word when we practice it. God's word, I have learned over the years, is a very practical book. It's a very demanding book. And the way you and I keep it is by putting it into practice. It's a blessing to hear God's word. But I believe it's an even greater blessing to do it. God's blessing, you know, I want you to understand this, men and women, is upon those who hear his word and who keep it. That's what Luke tells us there in Luke 11 and 28. The text reads, but he said, rather, yea, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Have you got that blessing? Just as an aside, I don't want to seem too critical when I say this, but I believe there are many of God's people, and you know, they're missing God's blessing, much of God's blessing. Oh yes, God is blessing them. But they're missing much of God's blessing because they're not keeping God's word as they should. This is the way to a spiritual harvest. We need to read it and understand it. We need to read it and receive it and accept it as from God in its entirety. And we need to read it and keep it. For therein, this book, God's word, will bring great blessing, great profit. You'll reap a mighty harvest in your soul if you receive God's word in this way. May God's word come, I trust, with blessing to you even this day. Amen.